This episode of CougarCast is brought to you by CareerWise. CareerWise. That's CareerWise with a Z. CareerWise helps people learn how to become a medical coder. It's an online education system that not only teaches you how to be a medical coder, but teaches you how to land a job in medical coding and get that career to move things forward in your life. Midlife crisis? Haven't picked a career yet? You know somebody who needs, you know, a little extra money? A great way to do it is through medical coding, because you can work from home for both your education and also for your profession. So, if you're interested, go to careerwise.com. That's career, W-I-Z-E.com, or check out all their information that's on their YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search CareerWise, Wise with a Z. And also, go check out their Facebook page. And now, it's time for CougarCast. Greetings! My name is Keith Schertz, and this is CougarCast. Thank you very much for tuning in. The BYU Cougars have started their season at 3-2. Three victories, two losses. Wins over Arizona, Wisconsin, and McNeese. And losses to California and Washington. So it turns out that they're a little bit further along than we would have guessed. Right? 3-2 is better than what we would have expected from this team, and they've been able to go out and to succeed in early on. So now the question is what do they need to do to push things forward? How do they get better? Well, the one thing we learned from the Washington game is that they don't have enough speed. And people are like, well, okay, we'll just recruit more speed. But honestly, that becomes an issue just in general for most teams who are going to be in a spot like BYU is. Again, BYU is not one of the major conference teams in college football. They have an honor code to recruit around. They have pretty stringent academic standards. And the amount of people who'd be willing to come to Brigham Young University as a whole is pretty limited. And so to just say, well, okay, well, we'll just improve team speed, you know, that becomes a challenge. But they do have enough strength. I thought that was the best take I saw. I don't remember who had it on Twitter, but somebody said that what was shown is that BYU has the strength to match up with teams who are simply just physical, like Wisconsin. They were able to go into Wisconsin and be strong enough and tough enough and have the strength to do what they needed to do in order to get a win there. But against Washington, the key was is that you couldn't just overpower them. You needed to be quick. And they certainly didn't have the speed at any of the, you know, on any of the parts of the field in order to keep up with the Huskies. And so, how do you make your team faster? What are some of the things that you can do to become a faster football team? Well, one of the places I like to look when I think about team speed and teams that have put a priority on getting faster, I think about teams in the Big 12, but in particular, I think about what Gary Patterson's done at TCU. I think TCU might be the model if you're going to try to figure out how to get faster, especially as a defense. Like offensively, you can scheme things in a way where speed becomes less important because you're able to still move the football, but it's good to have it on offense. The real key is how do you get a bunch of strong dudes that can handle the strength of a team and also have speed? The thing is, I think if you had to pick one over the other, like, we experienced it. Like, would you rather have a really strong team or a fast team? Right? Feels like it should be fast. So, how do you get to a spot where you just simply improve speed everywhere? Well, what Gary Patterson did is he was able to bring in as many athletes as possible. And he would frequently take guys and just recruit a ton of running backs. Because here's who they put at running back in high school. They put the kid who's fast and the kid who's tough. Like, the kid who's fast and the guy that's not as tough, he plays wide receiver. Right? The very best athlete or the kid with the arm. I guess it's either your very best athlete, usually that includes being able to throw, but he's going to be your quarterback. But a kid that's just tough as nails and can really run hard, and beyond that, then he's fast, that ends up being your running back. So every high school looks, who's one of our toughest and our fastest guys, and then they put him at the, who's our toughest fast guy? That's your running back. So what Gary Patterson did is he said, okay, I'm going to bring in as many running backs as I can. And how do I figure out how to get as many running backs as possible? Like, the whole point is he would go to and say, okay, you're being under-recruited. You want to play running back. But I'm a good coach, and we've got a good coaching staff, and TCU is an up-and-coming program. We're growing, and we have put people in the NFL. And what we're going to do with you is we're going to maybe move you. You're not going to play running back. If you want to play running back, go play at Rice. Go play at Middle Tennessee State, right? But what we're going to look at is we're going to take you, because you're a fast, tough guy, and we're going to make you a linebacker, or we're going to make you a defensive end. Like, that's what he did, and he made enough of a compelling case, and he does it year after year after year, where he says, come to a school like TCU instead of going to SMU. And when you come here, what we're going to do, though, is you're not going to play running back. We're going to make you go and play, you know, middle linebacker. We're going to play outside linebacker. We're going to play defensive end, you know, maybe there's a spot for you as a safety. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to convert these really fast, tough guys and let them be the ones that play linebacker for us. And it's a way to really convert and make a lot more team speed. Because running backs have to be tough, they have to be fast, and then the last component is what? They're smart. And they're smart about the run game. They know how to read blocks. Well, that helps a linebacker. But it's a way that they've become much faster defensively, is they've populated their team with a bunch of running backs and put them on defense and made them be linebackers. What BYU does generally to get a little faster from time to time is we'll do what we did with Zane Anderson. We'll say, well, okay, you're no longer going to be a safety. We're going to move you to a linebacker. And that's like the most aggressive way that we try to handle those things. Like, and it's been that way, by the way. That's what Bronco did too. Like Jordan Pendleton, who is now, you know, enormous. Like, if you see, like, he does all of his training stuff, he's enormous. It's crazy to think that he actually started as a safety and then was moved to an outside linebacker. So that is the way that BYU has tried to get a little bit faster. They bring in kids that are linebackers. You know, by the way, who plays linebacker in high school? Like, again, that's a tough kid. A tough kid, but this is your kid that tries hard. That's usually what they find. They try to find the kid who's got the, you know, the spirit of will, who's going to compete and compete and compete. And that's who plays linebacker at the high school level. It's not, he's a good athlete, but it's not always your very best athlete. But the kid is usually a dog, and he fights, and he goes, and he goes, and he goes, which is great. And it can work, and that's what most linebackers at the college level are, that. But to have great athleticism on a defense and great speed on a defense, it might be smart to start looking on the high school level at how to get faster by using running backs and getting running backs in and making that work. Now, that may not work at BYU because, again, the restrictions of their own recruiting and the challenges that they have with bringing in a certain kind of kid into the school. The kids that are willing to live the honor code. Frankly, most of them are going to be LDS. So how many under-recruited LDS running backs are there? We're probably recruiting them to be our running back. So it becomes an issue. It may not be a realistic thing. I'm just telling you that there's a way to get a little creative to try to find more speed when you are underhanded or undermatched or when you're on the outside looking in, the way BYU is in the sport of college football as a whole. You've got to overcome it by getting creative. You got to overcome it by coaching harder and taking kids from different positions and putting them in different spots so that they can be more or less successful, right? But generally speaking, that is a way to get it done and to move people. And by the way, BYU's just done a whole ton of this. Especially, you know, this is why they moved Dian Gwanwoloku and why they've moved Troy Warner to safety. And they've moved safeties to linebacker. And they moved people who brought in as linebackers and have put them on the defensive line. And people who are defensive ends go in to be defensive tackles, right? Like there's this process by which it's all kind of occurring, and they're just trying to get a little faster, and it's happening, and it's just like marginally the case. Like Troy Warner wasn't as fast as Chris Wilcox, so Troy Warner got moved to safety. Michael Shelton's faster than Gwanwoloku. So Michael Shelton gets to stay at corner. Gwanwoloku's going to move out. These freshman corners that they've brought in that have played pretty well are faster. And so this movement of players that has occurred defensively has all been about how to get faster. And when you have a fast defense, it can make up for, you know, look, defense is a game where you react to what you see. The offense knows what's going to happen. The defense reacts to what's happening. And yet, most resources are used on just putting speed on the offensive side, which makes sense. If you have a slower defense and you got speed on offense, then that's going to work. But if you've got a fast defense and you've got your fastest people on defense, they can then react and make up the ground and cause all sorts of havoc for an offense that thinks they know what they're going to be able to do and then is surprised by where people are and how quick they get there because your best athletes are on the defensive side of the ball. So I think this process may improve. I don't know how fast a BYU defense can ultimately become. But they've got to get faster if they're going to start looking at competing with legitimate top 10 teams like Washington. Legitimate teams that have a chance to really contend for a national championship. Have a speed and a quality of talent that simply cannot be matched by BYU. And unless they can force a ton of big plays, they can't come away with a win. So, look, we saw that the Cougars have made a bunch of steps forward this year. That loss to Washington, we kind of felt like it was going to come, right? It just didn't feel like BYU, could we really be 4-1? You know what I mean? With two wins over top 11 teams in the cut, like it seemed wild to me. On the road, two road wins. So it's okay. I was surprised to see how many people were so upset. And as I've had conversations with friends this week, and as I've seen some of the chatter on Twitter, I'm surprised at how upset people were. But I think that is just a product of, you know, they were ranked 20th. It was probably too much too soon. We knew that we needed to be careful out there. Just be careful. Right? Like, the 20th ranking was a result of getting a nice road win. They had one really great win. And then they were able to move up. Because other teams lost. Like, we moved up 5 spots beating McNeese. Like, that was more a result of other teams losing than our win. I'm not sure that anybody truly believed that there were only 19 teams in the country better than BYU. So, I don't know if people bought into that too much or whatever, but they shouldn't have. I hope you did not. The Cougars are better, and they're improved. One of the things that can really prove whether or not the Cougars are truly a reformed and fixed team is figuring out how to get by a really talented Utah State squad. We'll get into that next. Oh, a game against the Aggies. Hey, this is a rivalry game. I don't know why people feel funny about saying that. It absolutely is. We've split. Utah State's won 2 in the last 4 years. They won last year. Cougars have won 2 in the last 4 years. This has been a close game for much of the last decade. Now, Cougars have won most of the games. But Utah State's always getting better. They're dangerous. And I always love that it's the Friday night game before general conference. And I think the fact that it's the battle for the old wagon wheel, which is good. I want that wagon wheel. I need to figure out, I gotta get a picture with the wagon wheel. Where does the wagon wheel go? Like, I've been inside the student athlete building after we've beaten Utah State. I don't remember seeing the old wagon wheel. Anyway, we got to get that old wagon wheel back. But the other thing that I was thinking about is really this Friday night game before general conference that they've traditionally played against Utah State. I really feel like it deserves a better nickname than the battle for the old wagon wheel. How about this one? I kind of like this one. The first session. Yeah. It's the first session of General Conference, baby. The first session. I kind of like it. I'm going to go with that. If you don't like it, well, okay. The Aggies are coming into the first session. Oh, see, it feels good. That's a good. Anyway, the Aggies are coming into the first session. 3-1. And really could have been 4-0. That first game of the year against Michigan State got away from them. They were on the road, and the Spartans barely got them. They had a lead in the fourth quarter. I think they had a lead with less than 2 minutes left, and then they fell apart, which is what they do. It's what they do when they go to Power 5 teams at the beginning of the year. They usually play pretty good. Last year, they did great against Wisconsin before ultimately losing late in the game. Who can forget the year when they barely lost to Cam Newton at Auburn, and this year they lose at Michigan State, 38-31. Other than that, though, they have looked very comfortable. They looked good against New Mexico State. They looked great against Tennessee Tech. They scored 73 points. That's the sort of thing. Now, Tennessee Tech is no McNeese. I will say that. But when you can go out and absolutely wallop your opponent with 73, I don't care how bad they are. 73, that tells me a lot. And then lastly, they played the Air Force before a bye week. When they played Air Force, they won 42-32. So Troy Calhoun's spread offense was able to generate 32 points against Air Force. And Mark D'Antonio's power run offense ultimately got 38 points, though they did have to go through the air quite a bit down the stretch of that game. Coming off a bye week, the Aggies should be doing really well coming off a bye week compared to BYU coming off of a brutal Washington game. Actually, you know what? Was that game that brutal? It was brutal maybe to watch us really struggle, but at the same time, it didn't really strike me as like an ultra-physical game. And we know Washington has that gear. I don't know. I don't know what happened. BYU didn't really need to, you know, drive that out of Washington, it seemed. But bye week for Utah State. BYU short week after a Power 5 opponent on the road. Kind of a brutal beginning of the year. I would say in terms of body blow theory, which is the idea that, you know, who's fresher has a better chance to win. Obviously, huge advantage going to Utah State. Now, I know that they played Tennessee Tech and they got 73 points, but 51.5 points per game is incredible. That is a huge, huge number. 51.5 points a game. That should just absolutely terrify you. That's what they're averaging. That's over a four-game period for the Aggies. 51.5 points. The last time the Cougars scored 52 points in a game, just this is not average. I mean, the last time they just even reached that point was over 2 years ago when they scored 55 points against Toledo in that crazy shootout game, right? So I'm sure you remember that one. Rhett Almond hits the game-winning field goal at the buzzer, put away the Rockets at Toledo. Logan Woodside and Kareem Hunt. It was a good game. 55 points were scored in that game by the Cougars. And if you remember that game, it just felt like it's like we couldn't do anything except score. Like Jamal Williams was insane. He ran and ran and ran and ran in that game. I believe he set the single game rushing record in that game. And it was like, oh, yeah, of course, we're going to just score and score and score. And it felt like a ton of points. Remember? 55 points. The Aggies are averaging 51.5. That's crazy. That's wild. So I know that you can say, hey, look, it's Tennessee Tech. It's New Mexico State, who, by the way, is better. And it's the Air Force. Right? But I just think scoring points and scoring points in a big way, we know that that means something. Look, we used to be in the Mountain West and be the ones scoring a ton of points on the Air Forces of the world. And when teams played us, when we had high power offenses, we still were dangerous against better teams or higher caliber teams. So it's quite clear that Utah State has an offense to be reckoned with, and really, that is this football game. It's how do you disrupt what has worked really, really well for Utah State all year. There's only one team that gives you any sort of idea or game tape on how to slow down Utah State, and they still scored 31 points against the Spartans. So be afraid. You should. Jordan Love, the quarterback for Utah State. We saw him a little bit last year as a freshman. He's a sophomore now. He is solid, better than that. He is a playmaker that really gives you a chance to score a lot of points and is the main reason why the Aggies are going to win a lot of games for the next three seasons. until he graduates. Okay, so let's take a look at Jordan Love and some of the stuff that he does to be effective. Okay, so the big stat, of course, I love yards per attempt. And Jordan Love is 7.9 yards per attempt. Okay, he's very solid when it comes to that stat. That's a stat that is, you know, again, there's been lots of studies shown to show that that is the highest correlative statistic when it comes to wins and losses. So 7.9 isn't like blistering, but it is the top half of college football. That's better than what most quarterbacks are able to do. It's certainly better than what BYU has been able to do this year. And I think that Jordan Love, you know, he's very obviously efficient in that way. One of the things that just like jumped off the page to me when I got looking at some of his statistics, here's some of the splits on him, his situational stats. When it's third down and 10 plus yards, they've been in that scenario a few times this year, the Aggies, but they've had third and 10 or more and decided to pass out of that 10 times. He's completed 7 of those passes, okay, for 116 yards and a touchdown. He did have one interception on that. But he's been able to generate first downs out of third and 10 or more 6 times through the air. That's awesome. That's a big, big stat for them. So it doesn't matter how far behind the line of scrimmage they are. On any down, they have the ability to let it rip. And one of the things that I think is interesting with that is you know, his numbers go down. His yards per attempt go down, you know, lower when it's shorter down in distances. But again, he's just trying to move the sticks in those scenarios. But it's really impressive to take a look at how they're able to get first downs from almost any down in distance because Jordan Love's passing and some of the scheme of what they're doing with their fly wide outs, with their, you know, they're very spread heavy. They're the go fast, go hard version of Robert and I's offense, but I think with better execution. So it'll be interesting to see if they can find matchups and find ways to take advantage of BYU potentially being fatigued because of how quick their offense goes, how frequently they call plays, how quickly they want to snap the football, and how, you know, they'll not make substitutions to try to get BYU into uncomfortable personnel sets or spots where they can see that there's an advantage and they make an easy read and go. Like, here's another stat about how it doesn't matter how far off they are. They can still pull out first downs. On first down, Jordan Love is throwing for... He's got 65% accuracy, okay? He's thrown it 69 times. He's completed 45 of those. But of his 45 completions on first down, 25, more than half of them, have gone for 10 yards or more. He's been able to get 25 first downs on throws on first down. That's an amazing statistic. And it just shows you how efficient and how dangerous this guy is when he's throwing the football. He's able to get his guys in rhythm, in space, and they move the ball up the field. And again, I take a look at, can you do it? They can do it against the Air Forces, the New Mexico States, the Tennessee Techs, the world, even the Michigan States of the world. They showed they could do it at times against Michigan State. So it's worth being very nervous and being very worried about what they can do. I hate playing a team where it doesn't, down and distance doesn't really affect them in a massive way, because they have the ability to gain a lot of yards easily and they do it frequently. Those sorts of teams scare me. It's frankly, what I just described was a Lavelle Edwards team. It's BYU for like the 30 years Lavelle Edwards was head coach. So I don't like that idea of having to deal with that, you can never let your guard down because they're going to be able to convert quite a few third downs and be able to pull out quite a few, you know, first downs off of it. And they're explosive. They have the ability to really move the football and make a lot of things happen for them in that way. And it all starts and stops with Jordan Love. He's pretty impressive player. So watch out for number 10. He's impressive. The other hard part about stopping Utah State is that, and Jordan Love, to his credit, one of the things that he does is he really spreads the football out and he makes everyone really effective. He's got 8 of his teammates who've received at least 5 catches this year. So at least 1 catch per game. They've only played 4, so a little better than 1 catch per game. Okay, 8 of his teammates have an average of over 10 yards per reception. That's awesome. That is awesome. When you look at what BYU does, and obviously with the 5.6 yards per attempt that Tanner Mangum's getting, which is, you know, near the bottom of college football, you take a look at guys with just 5 receptions, okay? Think about it in this sense. Guys with just 5 receptions, we've got Neil Pau, you've got Gunnar Romney, Lopini Katoa, Matt Bushman, Moroni Lalu-Pututau, and Aleva Hifo. So that was 6. They've got 8 guys that have at least 5 catches or more, and all of them have over 10 yards of poor reception. Guys that fit that category for us. Gunnar Romney is there. Matt Bushman's there. Aleva Hifo is there. That's it. So we've got 3 players that go downfield. They've got 8. So have been explosive, more explosive. So it becomes quite a problem about how do you handle all the different looks and all the different spots where you can be hurt. The guy that I think you really got to worry about, the guy that can really hurt you, is their tight end. He's the guy that Jordan Love likes to look at on those third downs. They say security blanket. This is him. Dax Raymond, the tight end for Utah State, is a very good player. Their explosive guy, the guy that they look to on the outside, kind of outside the numbers. They look at Tarver, Ronquavion Tarver. They also take a look at Jalen Green as one of their guys. And then the guy that they have found quite a bit in the end zone is Aaron Vaughn. He hasn't had as many receptions, but he's been a guy that perhaps is the third read. You know, he's on the weak side. You read the strong side. You've got the slot receiver. You've got your tight end. You got your wide out. None of them are available. You look the other way. Oh, hey, look. He's available. Aaron Vaughn's. So they give you a lot to think about. They give you a lot of things to kind of worry about. And a lot of, you know, problems that you have to constantly be trying to, you know, manage. And try to slow down. They've got kind of a two-headed monster. A lot of times when you see 2 different running backs that teams use quite a bit, you'll see like a contrast in styles. Not the case here. Gerald Bright, Darwin Thompson, these guys are both very similar. They're both like 5'9", 200-pound guys. So they're powerful. They got low center of gravity, tough to bring down, and they run hard. Thompson gets a lot more of the short yardage carries. He's also been just a little bit more explosive. Both of them averaging over 7.2 yards per carry on the year. So, again, it's not just the passing, though the passing's impressive and what they're able to do. But when your 2 main running backs are averaging better than 7.2 yards per rush attempt, again, something to think about, something to worry about. BYU currently has no one rushing for an average of over 7.2 yards per attempt. I guess Matt Hadley has 7.6 yards per attempt, but he's only run the football 3 times. So their two featured backs are absolutely killing it. And that becomes a place where they can really hurt you. There's a lot of different ways that they can, you know, be effective. And usually they're only single back there. And then the back makes a cut and goes. So they are effective at what they do on the offensive side of the ball. For the other side of the ball for the Cougars, look, and for the Aggies, if BYU can't score points against Utah State, if they can't find a way to be effective against Utah State's defense, it becomes time to reevaluate how awesome Jeff Grimes is. To me, this is a put-up or shut-up game for Jeff Grimes. They grinded their way. They basically took a quarter off and then grinded their way to 30 points against McNeese, and that's been their best offensive showing on the year. Without question, it's better, but they've got to find a way to get more points on the board. These long, suspended, you know, extended drives and all this stuff, it's just not a way to generate a lot of points. I mean, look at Utah State. They're scoring a lot of points because they're explosive. They got two running backs. One of them's over 9 yards. One of them's over 7 yards. They got eight receivers who are averaging over 10 yards a catch. It's like, that's how you score a lot of points. You pick up a lot of yards in individual plays. And the Cougars just aren't finding a way to get chunk yardage on a very consistent basis. The good news is, you can get chunk yardage against a team like Utah State. They have one player defensively that really stands out. Gage Ferguson, their defensive back, he's been really good. Really solid for them. He's forced a couple interceptions. He's had a couple forced fumbles. He's sort of their big play guy there. And he's effective. He's in on a lot of tackles. He's fourth on the team in tackles as a defensive back. He's really solid. On the defensive line, Tipa Galiai, he's solid. You know, they've got guys that can cause some havoc and make some plays. But as an overall unit, they're not the most disciplined group. Like, they're not the best read and react defense in the country. So if BYU can't score a bunch of points against Utah State, like if they don't get past 35 points, if they don't flirt with 40 points this game, then I think it's fair for fans to start wondering about our offensive coordinator. Like, I'm not crazy about any of the talent on the offense. Squally's good. Mangum's fine. You know? Moroni's out, but Bushman's in. He was a freshman All-American. Like, there's some talent there. And maybe they're all, maybe it is. Maybe it is the case that it's just, you can blame the players. But I feel like if we can't score points against Utah State, then I think that's a coaching problem. Like, I feel like coaches should be able to scheme their way and figure out how to get points against that Utah State defense. They are not disciplined. I'm telling you, they don't do a good job of holding the edge. You can expose them because linebackers don't have a lot of gap discipline. Like, if your offensive line knows, like, even half of what they're doing, they ought to be able to be effective here. And it looks like our offensive line has moments, right? So I expect BYU's offense, I trust that Jeff Grimes and that unit has gotten a lot better. I trust that they know what they're doing and that they're going to have more creative solutions to what they want to do. That they're going to really confuse and have, you know, a team that's easy to get off balance really off balance pretty quick. So the Cougars ought to score, and they ought to score quite a bit. I'm not saying they're going to win, because there's a chance the other team's going to score 51 points, right? But if we can't score points in this game, we're going to lose. Everything's going to be inflated, in my view. Utah State's going to score more, and BYU's going to have to score. Like, it's a shootout. This is an old school whack game, right? But they're going to have to figure out how to score a lot of points. I think that's the path to winning. I think that Utah State is talented enough that they're at minimum going to score, 24 or 28 points. They're going to find a way to get points on the board. They're talented. They're explosive. Their scheme really works for them. So is the Cougar offense potent enough to score points? Are they as potent as Air Force's offense? I hope so. Because if they're not, they're going to lose. It's that simple. Michigan State let them score 31 points. Like, if the Cougars hold them to 28 points, that's a fantastic effort. They're going to score. They're going to score a bunch. So this game is about that offense as well. Like, I mean, it's both teams' offenses and which one is going to be better and more effective against the defense they have. And frankly, that worries me. Like, if you think people were mad after we lost to Washington at Washington, who's a top 10 team, how are they going to feel when you lose to Aggies for the third time in the last 5 years? Bad, right? That's like a crisis. So, but this is not the same Utah State team, from the 80s and 90s that were just, an automatic win, generally speaking. They are so much better up there. They've gotten so much better. So to just kind of brush it off and say, well, we're supposed to beat Utah State, and so we will, that's madness. That's not paying attention. And anyway, I think that if BYU plays as well as they've played in some of these games, if they play as well as they played, obviously, against Wisconsin, they're going to be just fine. But again, I think that this is a momentum team. I think if Utah State, and this is the last bit that I have on this, is that if Utah State gets rolling, if Utah State gets the Cougars down early and the crowd starts getting nervous and that first session is not filled with the first quarter of the first session, if it's not delivering some inspiration, that crowd is going to be nervous. And frankly, there's enough people that are out on Tanner Mangum that, he's going to hear it. And again, he's been better on the road than he's been at home. By the way, he was pretty good against Washington, wasn't he? I thought he was good. Not perfect, but he was good. But that becomes a really fascinating wrinkle, doesn't it? If they go down early and the momentum starts going the wrong way, Utah State can really get rolling. And this doesn't really feel like a BYU team that can overcome like a 14-point deficit, right? Or three scores, I guess, so 15 or bigger. Like, it doesn't feel like they have the sort of courage, explosiveness, whatever, to really come back from being down from quite a bit. So they've got to just hang tough. They got to perform early on, and they've got to score. They've got to score. They can't put the pressure on the defense early on in the game, the defense, to make big plays. they're not really a big play defense. They don't generate a lot of sacks. They haven't had a lot of pass breakups and interceptions. The defense does a nice job of being solid and getting the other team off the field. And then, you know, they force punts. That's what they do. So I suppose that the hope point, and, you know, they say in football, hope is not a strategy. But the hope point is maybe that offense for Utah State is simply a product of who they've played. I think it's foolish to think that, but maybe that's the case. If that's the case, BYU will be just fine. But it's strength versus strength. Our defense is better than our offense. Utah State's offense is better than their defense, and it's our weakness versus weakness. So which unit has the biggest advantage over the other? And how will that end up playing out? And how will the other factors like field position, turnovers, and all that stuff manifest? All of those little details are going to make the difference. There isn't a ton between these teams. There really isn't. So the first session, I think, is going to be quite a game. And I'll be fascinated to see how the Cougars perform at home in front of a, you know, more optimistic crowd. A couple of fan bases that are feeling pretty optimistic about their team in general as they have played this season. So really huge. Utah State wins. They're going to have a lot better year this year than maybe they were expecting. If BYU loses this game, they're going to kind of be where we thought they were. If they beat this team, it should show that, you know, BYU is one of the 40 best teams in the country. Maybe even one of the 25 best teams in the country. That the Cougars are able to beat good teams and do it reliably. 4-2 with the wins over the teams that they had. There's without question, they're one of the top third of all of college football. So it's a big win. It's a big, big telling of where BYU is as a program. And obviously it's exciting, but really the biggest thing is if they win, they get the old wagon wheel. And obviously a win against Utah State, which just means a lot. When you lose to Utah State in this state, that means something pretty significant. Losing to Boise State is more understandable. Losing to Utah is more understandable. It's the losses to Utah State in particular that really resonate in a big way. It's not as big of a game as the Utah game. Losses to Utah do stick out and stuff, but as things go, anytime you lose to Utah State, it's a pretty significant indictment about where BYU football is and kind of the status of the team. Look, people get fired. People get fired if we lose to Utah State. Like, we lost to Utah State, Jaime Hill got fired. We lost to Utah State last year, the entire offensive staff got fired. So, in seasons where you lose to Utah State, people get fired for that. It's that significant. So, generally speaking, this is a really huge game, and it's a game BYU and its administration and within the own walls of its football program, they demand to not be third best in the state. And that's what's on the line on Friday night. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of CougarCast. Big, big game against the Aggies. And, you know, just be careful out there. The first session of General Conference will convene on the night of Friday. And, yeah, I'd love to see the Cougars come away with a big, big win and continue their process here of just continuing to grow. It's fun to watch them grow. This has been it's been a lot more fun than watching them, you know, dissolve and die like last year. If you've enjoyed listening to the show, go ahead and give us a rating wherever you listen to your podcast. It's greatly appreciated. Check out all the content on VanquishTheFoe.com. And thanks to our sponsors, CareerWise. That's it for this week's edition of CougarCast. Go Cougars and take care of yourselves.